So while all those billionaires in Russia worry about how to protect their riches from sanctions, how do the rest of us get a shot at pitching ideas to the oligarchs anywhere in the world? Sure, maybe you occasionally spot the limo with the armed escort zipping down your streets or see the super yacht parked out in the harbor, but you can't exactly paddle out to the billionaire's boat and, hey, I've got this new invention, or pitch your brilliant philanthropic idea or your hot startup company. You could, but you'd probably just end up getting wet. What if you had a GPS map, though, of the richest people in the world, knew where they were, knew where they might see eye to eye with you? There is something to help you navigate these waters. Its inventors call it relationship science, or RELSI. It's a database of more than 3 million people. You might just call it a monster Rolodex, but then you would just reveal how old school and low tech you are if you said something like that. Neil Goldman and Greg Lindsay are with us. Greg Lindsay writes about relationship science in the latest issue of Inc. magazine, and Neil Goldman is chairman and CEO of Relationship Science. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
So, Neil, what do you attribute the enthusiasm of investors to this RELSI concept?
First, I just would clarify, you know, people have referred to us as a Rolodex for the 1%, and I think that's just because it's a sexy term. You know, our product is not that. It currently covers 3.5 million people, which is everyone, who's lots of people who do business at every level. So it's not
that. Well, let me sharpen the metaphor. I mean, in a sense, a Rolodex is just a bunch of names, but in the case of you, it's not really about the neurons in this list. It's about the connections, the
right.
Synapses. Explain how that works.
Sure. So we basically have tracked down a certain type of people who make decisions in the primarily business and nonprofit world. And we map them out, and who knows them, in a very detailed graph. And so what we do is we allow all types of people, even especially nonprofits, who's a big segment, to figure out how they can best approach or get to someone who could help push their mission forward, whatever that is, for profit or nonprofit.
And to get to Neil Goldman was the mission of your article in Inc. Did the magazine pay for the subscription fee, sign up, or anything like
that? They were nice enough to give me a trial for that one. But no, it was interesting. When I started out, when I was meeting Neil for the first time at Penn Station, you know, I decided I'd use his own software against him, which is this notion of who do I know that's connected to him? And so, of course, we have a friend in common, a friend who's friends with so many people. And, you know, it was interesting because I could go up to him and say, hey, Neil, my friend Parag sends his regards. I could fake the introduction. And this sort of carried through the whole piece. What Neil pointed out at the end when I finally confessed that I'd pulled this ruse off against him is that all I had to say was that we had a friend in common, right? I mean, so many of the connections that we have can just be bound together by the people that we know. We can create this familiarity if we simply say, you know, we have this friend. And suddenly, instead of two strangers talking, you're now bound together and you could actually have a real relationship and talk eye to eye.
Well, RELSI is the latest slogan to meet BizDev, business development. How does a business use your product to actually increase the likelihood that they will find somebody who can help them, work with them, collaborate with them?
Sure, and I'd put in a bigger context of relationship capital management, right? One of the biggest underutilized assets that firms have is our relationships. And I don't even know who I know because they might have changed jobs and they might be taking on additional extracurricular responsibilities. So first is, how do you aggregate who we know and who they know, which is almost impossible to figure out? And then you basically take a business objective, and then you can now map out who should we perhaps ask for that introduction, or when I have that meeting, how am I best prepared to have that warm introduction?
And so if I paid $9,000 as a business to sign up for your program and Warren Buffett was my destination, you could map out some sort of way for me conceivably to get there.
Sure, but you know the Warren Buffett example could be it's like I need to meet a mid-level person at a corporation. It's not all about the 1%.
Right. It's not all about the 1%. It's not all about the top of the pyramid.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. So if this actually works, it's an extraordinary updating problem for you as a business because all of a sudden two friends could become mortal enemies. And if you miss that, you've kind of wrecked it.
Well, two parts to that. I mean, that's what we do. And our background as a company, and we have 600 people, is large-scale updating of data. So you know, if someone has changed roles, we have that, and that's our business. With regard to the qualitative aspect of is someone a friend or a foe, we don't track that. We track the likelihood of people knowing each other because that's we only know it's public, and a lot of that friend-foe stuff is private. So we can't possibly collect that data.
So as a journalist, how do you evaluate objectively the value of this experience? Is it just interesting curiosity, or do you think it actually has value and a game changer?
Well, the first time I looked at Real Estate, I felt like I was lifting the curtain back on reality. You know, I thought of like C. Wright Mills, a sociologist who wrote The Power Elite, because the first time you could really see how the 1%, apologies, Neil, is really connected that way. And, you know, but to me, it's more of a harbinger of one future of social networks. You know, I mean, we tend to conflate social media and social networks. Like, social networks are not just Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Wherever there are two people, there is a social network in the real world. And there's a whole body of academic research on this to show that this is how ideas are transmitted. This is where innovation comes from, when you bring together the right combination of people at the right time and the right place. And you never know who those people are. And tools like RealSci can particularly start, you can start mining these connections. You can start looking for these sort of buried connections between people, and you can actually bring them to the surface. You know, if big data is the new oil, then this is the equivalent of fracking, right? You are now extracting value that you knew was there, but you've never had a chance to get at it. And I'm really interested to see how it evolves, because services like RealSci, you know, you can put them on Google Glass. You could put them on your cell phone. You can use it when you're meeting people in the world to figure out, how do I know this person? How do I make the right introduction? It's a way to get away from the screen or the VR goggles that Facebook wants to use for social networks and bring it out into the real world.
And to just hit the point again of it's not the 1%, his Parag Khanna example, that would mean you're the 1% if you're in there. So
it's the value of any relationship, no matter how much money they have, mined from big databases like you're constructing
here. And I'll give you a very big idea. You know, the Industrial Revolution is, how do you make a widget faster? Today, it's a service economy and everyone's got a supercomputer in their pocket. So how do you create a little more efficiency and for everyone? And mining these relationships that are this hidden tremendous value is what we're trying to help everybody do.
The premise of relationship science. Neil Goldman is chairman and CEO of RealSci. Greg Lindsay is contributing writer for Inc. magazine. He writes about relationship science in the latest issue of the magazine. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.